It's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Good morning to you, Martin. In the midst of South Africa's worst labor unrest since the 80s, Goldfields has clinched a very interesting deal, a momentous 173 million rand deal with the National Union of Mine Workers that could redefine South African gold mining.
Yes, and we're talking about South Deep. All eyes have been on KDC,
yeah,
where management and worker are just staring each other down. Workers not budging, moving out of the hostels, sitting on a hillock saying, we want that amount. And the management saying, look, we'll only deal with it in June 2013. But a different story west of here, closer to here, at South Deep. Now, a different mine. South Deep, which is owned by Goldfields, is 100% mechanized. This is a mechanized mine. This is where you can get the productivity. This is when you can deal with the demands. The deal they've cracked there is one that South African mining has been searching for, the Holy Grail, what is called full calendar operations, FULCO. They've managed to clinch that. It's going to cost them, you know, 170 million in advance for all the deals they've had and the systems they've had, the bonus systems. But they find it worth it because coming up from South Deep, 2015 is going to be steady state, 700,000 ounces of gold a year, going to 2065 and beyond. So when all the other gold mines here have turned their lights off, South Deep will still be going. And this is why they're able to do such a good deal. Now, when you walk into South Deep, it is a different mine. It's not those narrow vein ore bodies, you know, where people have to crouch down. These ore bodies are so big, they're taller than the ceiling here. You could get a double-decker bus in with a roof rack, you know. I mean, that's how big this is. So it lends itself to mechanized mining, these big drill operators. And when I was in that mine in 2010, I said to one of the drill rig operators, what pay do you take home? He said to me, 50,000 rand a month. Now, he was an exceptional guy. He was working very hard. What they've introduced now is this FULCO. It's called 4x4. Means you work 4 days on, 4 days off, but it's 12-hourly shifts. And they've introduced a mid-shift break where they will supply the food and drink. You know, they also have got the food and drink at the start of the shifts to make sure that there's not fatigue. And it will mean that for the first time in South Africa, we will have this full calendar operation, which you need in mining. This is the global activity. This is how it works everywhere else in the world. We haven't been able to clinch it. They've done it here. And so it'll be 5 more working hours a day, 7 more production days a year, and 50 fewer working days a year for workers. So it's a win-win situation. And there will be fewer workers, although there are 400 more jobs coming out of this. Fewer workers, but with much higher pay.
Gee, interesting. Very interesting indeed. But also, Martin, a group of South Africans have stumbled on a new technology, and this is very important, that can turn the tiniest copper deposit into a fountain of cash.
You know, copper is always stuck. You need a big copper resource. The copper price is good. I mean, we just had a report yesterday that even next year there's going to be a copper deficit, and the price is likely to be, the prediction is $8,500 a ton. So it's a good space to be in. And along come these South African entrepreneurs, and it's the second time the same group has cracked the code. You know, they've done it at the magnetite dump in Phalaborwa, where they're going to get iron out of that, a metallic iron, and also sell it at a very good price. Now they've gone into the Northern Cape. There's been a great history of copper mining in the Northern Cape. If you go into the Springbok areas and the Oak Keep and the Nubbel Beep, I mean, but these are not operating because copper requires a lot of energy. We haven't got the electricity in South Africa. You know, you need a big resource for electrowinning. So all these small pockets, they're just lying around there. Along come these guys and say, we can turn that into cash. They've cracked the code. And it was such an interesting story because the person who's done it, Dr. Gerard Pretorius, you know, he tells you that he's always fiddling with metals and metal beneficiation, etc. So he does things at home. And he had this situation at home where he was bringing in malachite, which is copper bearing, from the Democratic Republic of Congo. And he was able to get rid of a lot of it because it was jewelry grade. But there was a lot of leftovers. And he was wondering what was he going to do with this. And he wanted to get the copper out. And he thought, well, South Africa hasn't got electricity in abundance, so I must go a different route. So he went the hydrometallical route. But he said he used to, you know, stir this. He used to overstir, thinking that this is the way he could create copper crystals. And he had set up his laboratory one Sunday, and he was about to start his stirring, when his wife said, hey, we've got to get to church. So he rushed out to church. When he came back, he realized that his magic ingredients had worked. Before his eyes were these beautiful, pure copper crystals. And I witnessed it this week. I witnessed the desktop laboratory experiment and the demonstration plant that they've got where they grow these copper crystals on scrap metal. You know, it's like unbelievable. Incredible. And more than 98% pure. So they are now spending $24 million initially because they want to show the world that this can be done commercially. Mm. They've gone into Spectacle near Springbok in the Northern Cape, putting up their plant. Their first copper will be produced in the first quarter of next year. This $24 million will be paid off in less than a year. Ooh. You know, that's how the copper price is going. Mm. And they've already working on the second plant, also in the Northern Cape at Concordia. So the Department of Mineral Resources in Springbok is over the moon about this because, you know, amazing that area has been economically ravaged.
Yeah.
And now from the smallest of deposits, you can get a cash flow.
Mm. Amazing story. Detailed data over the last 60 years now, Martin, proves that the South African government has benefited far more from gold mining than the shareholders who have risked their money.
You know, and we often think with nationalisation coming up, you know, hey, the state has been ripped off here. We must grab these mines. I mean, that's the story that we hear. Mm. But if you look at the data, the hard data for gold mining, from 1951 to 2011, if you take all the mining, gold mining industry as a single entity, the state has level pegged with direct taxes on what the investors have got in dividends. Hmm. Exactly the same. But if you go beyond that and see what the state has got in terms of the jobs that have been created through this, the backward and forward linkages, I mean, the state has creamed it. We're even sitting in an environment that was created on gold. Hmm. So, you know, those are the backward and forward linkages and the spin-offs that you get. But if you just take direct taxation, it is equal to direct dividends that these people have done over a 60-year period. So it shows you that this gold tax formula that we've had, it was introduced first in 1936. Mm-hmm. And some mines can opt for the flatline corporate tax. They had an option, I think, in the late 90s to either go over to the flatline corporate tax that we've got or stick with this gold tax formula. But if you stick with the gold tax formula, it's really tailor-made for the mining industry because when things are starting, you know, you haven't got a huge tax burden. It's a progressive tax. Mm-hmm. But when you're really making money and you go into the windfall area, you know, the state can get like 50% more than it would. So all these calls for super tax, et cetera, are built into this thing that's been going on since 1936 and which has stood the test of time. And another big thing about this is that it favors marginal mines. In other words, people don't just go in their first years what we call high grade. Mm-hmm. They take all the good stuff. They pick the eyes out of it. They leave all the low-grade stuff, which is very bad for a country. This fits that bullet, allows them to go take a long-term view and take the good and the bad and make sure that the government also gets its cut.
Fascinating indeed. Martin Krumo is publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. He'll be back at the coal phase at the same time next Friday. Thank you very much.
It's a great pleasure, Clive.